Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place. I am really excited for today's episode. I'm talking to my long time friend. Ooh, that's a three long time friend. Rick Clanton, who is one of my favorite architects here in the Low Country of South Carolina. So this is going to be fun today because really being an architect is ubiquitous. Architects are everywhere. And I'm excited to have you, because you do have so much experience, chat with us a little bit today about aging in place at any stage in life. So before we get started on the good stuff, the fun stuff, let's talk a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about your history.
I moved to Hilton Head in 1978 when there were 4,000 year-round residents. It was the largest town I'd ever lived in. So technically it still is, but I never wanted to live in a city. I always wanted to be in a small place, and I wanted to design houses, and that's what I've done.
Well, it's really funny because I know you as a rugby player, a father, a grandfather, and it's been interesting as I've worked with you throughout the years to look at the growth and dynamics that you exhibit in your architectural designs. And I think one of the things that I really want to ask is, I view architecture as the framework of design when it comes to aging in place, really at any stage in life. I'd love to have you speak to us about that.
And I'll disagree with you and say that architecture is frequently the least important part if the architecture is right.
Rick Clanton.
If you have good, you know, if you have a good foundation, what's really important are the interiors and the landscaping.
What? Talk me through this.
Well, if you have a beautiful view, your landscaping creates a beautiful view from the inside.
Okay.
That's more important than looking at the walls. So from the framework standpoint, get the windows in the right places.
Oh, interesting.
From the use of the space, all we do is provide a framework. What makes it comfortable and cozy, or gives you the feeling that you want, if you want a modern home, that really comes from the interior design. And, you know, we spend a lot of time working with interior designers. We think that relationship is really important. And we try to build a team to bring the interior designer in early so that we get all those parts right and that you cover for us and keep us from making mistakes.
So let's kind of go through a pretend, if you will, scenario. A couple comes into you and is really interested in having you design a home for them. What are some of the important questions that you would like them to come prepared to answer?
I'm not sure that I have a good answer for that, because I'm not sure what the right answers would be. I'm not even sure in some cases what the right questions would be.
You are an obstinate architect.
I know. But,
okay.
But if someone came to me and said, we're building our forever home,
okay,
how should we do that? Then I would ask them questions about what that meant to them.
So what I hear you really say is, it's less important for you to come with a kind of prepared set, but more to be open to the process.
Right. And bring something to the process. You know, as you get older, I've just been through this with my parents and my aunts and my uncles. you know, they've all passed on, and I went through the aging process with them and saw the things that they were struggling with and the things that worked for them. And it's made me think about this totally different than just grab bars and 3 foot wide doors.
Very interesting. I know that Rick and I recently worked on a home that's already built. They had kids. They also have aging adults. It was really interesting. They were really wanting to do a renovation on it, and they wanted it to be visitable by their children, their grandchildren, and their older parents. Right. What are some of the things that you consider when people are in that stage in their lives?
With a new home, it's totally different than an existing home.
Okay.
Most people don't have the luxury to build a new home.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so they're very limited in what they can do. Most people aren't willing to take a 2 foot bathroom door, which you find in a lot of older homes, and make it 3 feet wide.
Because it's cost prohibitive?
Because it's messy, and it's beyond the scope of what they think they want to do.
Okay.
But if they're serious about being in the house long term, it's something they at least need to consider. But more important than the width of the doors, your chances of being in a wheelchair and being able to do the things we plan for people in wheelchairs to do, lift themselves up.
Transfer, yes.
Transfer, cook, clean. You're going to have help. You're going to need help to do things. So being able to move through the house, having grab rails where you need them, not just in the bathroom, limiting the number of steps, limiting even small things that would pass the ADA requirements, like half an inch.
Right.
But keeping everything dead level, because tripping is the biggest hazard. Stairs are the most dangerous place in your house.
Are they really?
More accidents happen in homes with stairs than any other.
I didn't realize that. I guess I always think of bathroom for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is wayfinding an important consideration?
Well, that's the thing about interior design and planning to get old.
Okay.
If you expect to wake up one day and say, I'm old, now I'm going to start living like an old person, you've missed the boat.
Got it.
I think you have to start planning for it when you're young. You need to be fitter.
Okay.
You need to put your network in place. You have a plumber to call on. You have an electrician to call on. Your heating and air conditioning system has been upgraded. Things have been simplified. How wonderful it would be if you could bring in an interior designer, take everything out of your house, and put everything back in piece by piece, led by someone who was giving you what you wanted, trying to make it beautiful, trying to keep your life together, but decluttering.
Makes sense.
And then your children would appreciate it.
Yes.
Very much.
Well, the interesting part about what you said is I could then bring my grandchildren in, and if it's decluttered, I'm not going to worry about glass breaking.
Or right.
If I've removed dangerous rugs, about my dad falling.
Right.
It's fascinating when you say it so succinctly and simply. It makes me rethink just walking into my home. When someone walks into a home, talk with me about what considerations you make for that.
I hadn't really thought about that other than what you see, how people greet you. Usually your entry of your home is kind of an initial elevator statement. This is who I am.
Okay, that's true. But again, 91-year-old dad and Clementine in a darn stroller. Sometimes when we go to visit, I don't know who to deal with and if there would be a solution and make it easier.
And digging that coat out of the coat closet that has everything else that you don't have a place for in the house packed into it. Maybe a little more room in the foyer. Well, you see these English cottages that have the wellies and the walking stick, and there's a bench, and maybe
a place to sit down, a place to kind of rest for a moment. That makes a lot of sense. When you're designing home, do people typically want a place that they can get in somewhere, whether it's in the front of the house or the back of the house, where there are no steps?
I think it's really important.
Okay.
We did a house 5 feet out of the ground. Here we have to raise houses because of flood requirements. They had a daughter in a wheelchair.
Okay.
And there's a garden leading up to the house, and you would never guess that the path through the garden was really a handicap accessible wheelchair ramp.
So this is something that you think about. You know, it's funny. I've got a friend. We think about aging, getting older as folks that may need to pay attention to this, when the reality is it could happen at any age. We're going to take a break, Rick, and I want to come back. We got a lot more to talk about aging in place and non-architecture. Actually, architecture. Stay with us. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on Aging in Place. We're having a wonderful time with our friend Rick Clanton, and we're talking about designing homes. And we were just laughing about, we have, you know, typically on podcasts, you kind of have an idea of where you're going to go. But I think the most inspiring sessions and the episodes are the ones where they are organically growing, if you will. And I appreciate you doing this. This is a lot of fun. Let's talk a little bit, and you just brought it up, about some of the conveniences in today's world that are actually impacting the way we live in our homes.
Well, talking about aging in your home, the goal is to stay in your home, stay independent as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And what stops older people from living in their own homes is that they don't eat properly.
True.
They can't get around, they Correct. Can't drive anymore, and so they're stuck in home.
Dependent on relatives or friends to
Right.
take them everywhere.
So they have to move somewhere where people will take care of them. So now we have Uber.
Oh, Uber, okay.
And Grubhub and some of the food delivery services. Grocery stores and some in cities have been delivering for years, and that's happening more and more in smaller towns.
Well, it's funny. I just realized that Harris Teeter, not only, right? They'll deliver. You can tell them the time. And I didn't know this. I just got a notice on my phone that CVS would deliver my pharmacy items, too.
Right. Right.
I never thought about how that would impact someone who's aging in place.
Yeah. And that lets you keep your independence longer. But you also need, I think, to be building a team. I've mentioned you know, a plumber, even a house manager. We have a friend who's a house manager. He's doing this service now for some people who live in the house rather than checking on the home when they're away. They're still there, and he's making sure that when they need a plumber, when they need an electrician, when something happens, they have one number to call, which helps simplify their life.
Absolutely.
And gives them someone that they can count on, they can depend on, to take care of those things instead of having to look through their Rolodex, because our parents still have their Rolodexes.
That's true.
And find somebody that will actually show up.
Talk to me about technology. You know, I guess now that you've got me thinking about streamlining or making things easier for someone at any age also.
Think about your parents and cell phones and computers, though. Yeah. They don't do that.
Right.
That's really difficult. I am at the age where new technology can be somewhat baffling, and many of my friends are having, talking about you,
would have
a difficult time learning how to do something new. I've got a friend in IT, internet technology, that I can count on to put my TV system together for me.
So to your point of gathering a team.
Right. You need that team in place before you really need them in place.
Talk to me, if you will, in thinking about that. I'm thinking about aging in place, staying in my home. If I can't afford to build a new home, and I've got not necessarily an old home, but a home that was my forever home. Are there things that you would recommend I do that are first line of defense, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, great question. Get the sharp objects out of the way. The pointy things that you might hit as you fall.
Okay, yeah.
You think smooth flooring, some of the new luxury vinyl flooring is inexpensive and beautiful.
Oh, the Cortex, that's a great product.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you could still have tile and wood floors, but they are harder when your head hits the floor.
Good point.
But rugs have a trip point. Mm-hmm. So there's a fine line there. So the furnishing, so you have a clear path through the house.
Okay.
That not is just doesn't just look good on paper, but actually fits the way you use your house, is really important. Rest points.
I like rest points.
Yes, as you get older, you can see having a chair in the right place. I remember my father needed to rest walking from the bedroom to the family room. He needed a point.
It's funny, my dad is exactly the same way now. I never even thought about what that was called. It was just, now I've got it. It is a rest point. It's almost a security measure, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right. And so how that happens, if you can make it happen, would be important.
And that doesn't have to be a cost prohibitive. These are easy fixes, if you will, or easy updates.
Right.
What about lighting? Is that something that you think about from a design point of view?
Absolutely. And in an existing home, sometimes it's as simple as replacing your bulbs with LED lights that are a little higher wattage.
Okay.
So it brightens the house up.
Makes sense.
Your chandelier over your breakfast table, put brighter lights in it. Keep the same fixture so that you can see better.
Makes sense.
And then bringing in some additional task lighting if that's what it is needed so that you can read the paper as your eyes get worse.
Talk to me, if you will, about bedrooms. More and more, I think that I intend to see if I can manage a bedroom, at least one bedroom and one bath on the main level.
Yes.
Is that important?
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, you can't get in. Stairs. Stairs are dangerous.
Yes. That's right. You stairs, keep, sharp object, right. Dangerous. I got that.
You want to keep your small children and your old parents off the stairs.
Very well said. Exactly.
And so you need that spot. Mm-hmm. And then also, if you're trying to age in place, you're going to stay in your home until the very end. Mm-hmm. You're going to have 24-hour care.
Probably.
Thinking about how that caregiver is in your home, sharing that home with you. Now, if you're on a 24-hour care cycle, that caregiver may be sleeping in a comfortable chair by your bed.
Got it.
But it might be good to bring them in earlier, and if you have the right facility, which is remote enough but close enough that they can come when you call, that would give you a lot of comfort. I think one of the things, as you get older, you get more stubborn.
Imagine.
And, I know, and less likely to spend money on the things that are going to improve your quality of life. But putting these things in place early, where they may seem like an extravagance, it's going to increase your quality of life when you don't absolutely need it. And then again, you'll have your team ready when you really do.
It's funny because I'm thinking about that right now, how easy it would be if you had an extra space or a guest bedroom to set that up or prepare for it. Just in case.
Yeah. And lever handles. Don't forget lever handles. You can change your doorknobs out very easily. For levers are really so much better than older hands can't handle doorknobs.
What about showers, bathrooms? That sounds like a dangerous area.
Yeah.
Danger zone.
Yeah, grab bars, bench in the shower.
Okay.
There's not a really good answer because after you got rid of your stairs, now your danger point is your bathroom. And the shower is
a slip slide, okay, danger. Right. Are you doing any designing without any, I don't know how to say that, without doors where it's just a wet area that a wheelchair or someone could go into?
We like showers even for young people with no threshold, where the shower floor slopes so gently you don't need to step over anything. And a wall that only goes up so high so light gets over the wall, rather than glass and a shower door. So you turn your shower on, the spray gets out into the bathroom,
okay.
You can walk around the edge. And one more thing about bathrooms.
Okay.
Again, old people. Old people are always cold.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Just saying.
Me too. Radiant heat. If you're building a new house, put radiant heat in your floors. It's not expensive. There are places where they do that as a matter of course. In places where they don't, they have these electric mats that you put under the tile. Makes a huge difference. If you don't have the ability to do that, you can still bring in ceiling-mounted radiant heaters, or you can put the radiant heat in your ceiling so that when it's cool, you'll be toasty warm.
Oh, this is the best. We're going to take a break. Oh, I'm going to get my fluffy robe on. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Henrik, the producer of Aging in Place podcast. If you'd like more information and transcripts of this podcast, visit agingInPlacePodcast.com. And now, back to Debbie Lyons with the next segment of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place, and we are having a wonderful time, and we thought we would include you all, the listeners, into this discussion we're having with Rick Clanton. And again, organically, this is just sort of evolving into a fantastic conversation, and we were talking about guest rooms and visitability, my favorite word.
Right.
You know, we were talking about having children, visiting grandparents, grandparents visiting kids. Talk me through your thoughts on this.
Don't do it.
Don't have grandparents or don't have kids.
Don't visit.
Don't visit.
Yeah. So yeah, everybody, when our kids were at our parents' house and our grandkids were at their great-grandparents' house, that's where the stress level really came in, because you've got all the old people's fussy little things everywhere, and then you've got the wild animals running through. And they're so thrilled at all this new potential play stuff. How do you quickly protect them in their great-grandparents' house?
And keep your sanity.
Right. And then when the floors quickly get covered with toys.
Ooh.
And then you've got your elderly residents.
Mm-hmm. Me at 66.
Trying to
fall hazard.
Yeah, go, take their normal path through the house, and you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a really good answer for that, except maybe pack soft toys rather than Legos.
Well, that's probably not a bad idea.
But, you know, is it a separate play area? Can you keep them confined? I think just some awareness. Again, be part of the team. You know, as you get older, you want to get your team ready. You want to get yourself ready, both mentally and physically, the best you can to do this. As a child of an older adult, mm-hmm. you need to do your part to be alert and prepare and be ready when you visit, to fill in the gaps and bridge those safety points on both sides that you might, if you're not looking for, you don't see.
And you don't think about it until you get there, and the stress level is exponential. Let's flip that. You're at your home. Mm-hmm. And now you've got your mom and dad coming to visit you.
Right.
What are some things you could think about, again, proactively?
A bed that works. Not too high, big enough, not too big. A mattress that's going to be somewhat comfortable. Decluttering that room.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for trip hazards. The right doorknobs, the heat in the bathroom there, the better lighting. Most of our guest rooms are filled with our things.
Our old stuff or too much stuff?
Oh, yeah, both.
Overflow.
And so where are your parents who are having a little bit of trouble even manipulating a suitcase? How are they going to live out of a suitcase while they're there with you, mm-hmm. if you haven't made preparation for that? Just being aware that that's an issue, and you can't just open the door like you did 10 years ago
and
Mom,
say,
Dad, here's your room, come on
exactly.
in. It takes a little more preparation.
Well, and again, going back to the bathroom, that's someplace we could prep for that too.
Right. the grab bars, the more even towel bars need to be sturdier in case they, you know, lose their balance, reach out to grab a towel bar and it collapses because it's not made to hold that weight.
Well, and I'm thinking this might be too much information, but I'm thinking about even toilets and getting up and down from that. Right. Toilet paper holders being readily accessible to grab onto, but I could think that could potentially be a risk, or you could put a block in and a bar there.
Yeah, the things you can do to make it better. And there's some things, there are limitations to what's built that you might not be able to do everything, but some things are better than nothing.
When you think about walking into a kitchen, are there things that come to mind when we think about little kids coming for visitability, grandmother and grandfather coming for visitability? And I guess I'm thinking about right now I have a wonderful island, but you have to be able to crawl up on a high stool to sit there. It's tough for my dad. It's tough for my grandkids. Right. You know, I wonder, just thinking if there would be any kind of a fix for things like that.
Knowing that I was going to be here, I was talking to a nurse with a lot of experience in rehab centers and talking about what you do in a kitchen so that you could pull your wheelchair up to the sink. You can cook from your wheelchair, but that's really difficult to do because the height where you want a wheelchair makes it almost unusable if you're standing.
Got it. Okay.
And if you're older, you don't want to bend way over. You know, you're limited in your mobility in either in all directions.
Sure.
I don't know quite what the answer here is, except for maybe to call Grubhub.
Going back to ease.
Right.
I mean, isn't that ease of use? Isn't that exactly the point?
It is. And you could, if you wanted to get very elaborate.
Okay.
You could have.
I love an architecture's mind. I know I'm not supposed to crosstalk you, but I have to say that.
You could design your kitchen sink
where
it could come up and it could come down. Could be done. Same thing with your stove. It'd be relatively, well, it wouldn't be simple. But you could do it so that you could, without too much difficulty, lower your stove and then raise your stove. Maybe not as you're standing there, but make it so that you could, at need, change that height.
What about you're inspiring me here. What about creating an island that was more than one level where I could put a dining room height chair? I'm thinking around the peninsula,
right?
Maybe, and then raise it for prep. Would something like that
would help.
Sense?
Now, do you want to go so far as to put a sink so that you could work there with a wheelchair if you were in a wheelchair? There's so many options that you have.
It's kind of fun to talk about when you really start thinking and you can be creative.
And then you start talking about the budget and then all these great creative ideas start to get modified. Right. But that's real life.
Right. That is real life. Yeah. What about elevators? I know that... because we live here in the low country and we have to build up, I would think that elevators would be a consideration.
A 5-foot by 6-foot closet stacked on multiple levels in your initial design makes it so easy to put an elevator in. It's no more expensive to put an elevator in after the house is complete than it is while you're doing it under construction. Everything happens within the shaft either way. We tell people to budget $20,000 for a 2-step elevator and for a 3-step, 3-stop elevator, $30,000. But you can leave that money out of your initial budget, put a temporary floor in, and when you need it, the doors are sized properly, the shaft is there, you remove the floor, patch the sheetrock, the elevator people come in from the inside of the shaft, do their work, and then go away.
So it kind of leads us back full circle to what we were talking about, and that is really preparing, being proactive up front, which is why I would think it would be really important to talk to a professional like you who could help guide you through the process.
Or tell the professional what you really want. Know what you want. Take the time, and to do your homework and think not what does everyone else do, but what would I really like that would make this home different that I would like my design professional to consider.
Brilliant. I tell you, it's, again, I'm very grateful for your time today and for you taking time to talk to us here on Aging in Place. We want to thank you. We want to thank all of you for joining us here on Aging in Place at any stage in life.
Rick Clanton, C-L-A-N-T-O-N. I'm with Group 3 Designs. We're a residential architecture firm on Hilton Head, South Carolina. We do work all over the country. And we do specialize in homes. I think what makes us different, I had a client that said I was persnickety. I like that.
I like
she's,
that.
She meant it as a compliment. Mm-hmm. That we try to listen. That's what we do. We listen. We try to give people houses that fit what they're looking for. I think our website does a pretty good job of describing that, but it shows a lot of high-end things, and we do other things that are not high-end.
What is your website?
Group3designs.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines, and thank you for listening to Aging in Place for Any Stage in Life. We would like to ask you all to give us a review. Of course, preferably 5 stars. Thank you again, and we hope you enjoyed Aging in Place for Any Stage in Life. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. To camp or not to camp, that is the light. Who doesn't like to glamp? Oops, I mean camp. When I learned of this next tip, I put it to the challenge while camping in the woods. Not exactly roughing it, but I did have to walk across the gravel to the restrooms in the dark. Anyway, enough about my bravery. What do? You grab your cell phone. What else do you grab? A bottle of water. Turn your cell phone on and let it shine through the water bottle. You get 360 degrees of light in just not a targeted area. Really, all you need is a clear item and sometimes something that emits light. Even a clear plastic cup will work. Lights go off inside your home. Shine your flashlight through your fish tank. Just saying, that little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Who knew?
Rick Clanton did a beautiful job today. We learned a lot on this episode. And as always, we have to have takeaways. Sometimes it's tough to just pick one. So today we're going to have 2 takeaways. I think the simplest one that he gave us was put resting areas throughout your home at any stage in life. A resting area is a place that has a chair or a bench where someone can just stop, put something down, or sit down for a moment. What a simple way for ease of living. The second takeaway is to put together a team proactively. What does that look like? It means have your list of people that help you around the house at your fingertips, preferably with one call, whether it's a plumber or an electrician, a caretaker, or next of kin. It's important to have that list accessible at all times. Thanks for joining us here on Aging in Place. Have a great week.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lines and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.